KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's cloudy. We have some drizzle, and it's 64 degrees. We picked up 15 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall over the past 24 hours. Messina reports nearly three-quarters of an inch. Our forecast is calling for mostly cloudy skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and a high around 73. Some of those storms could be severe this afternoon. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents in Elkhorn. See Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated. Or call 712-764-6000. The National Weather Service says a tornado briefly touched down Monday evening in the Des Moines suburb of Johnston, uprooting trees and damaging traffic signals. The National Weather Service confirmed the tornado rated an EF1 and noted that another storm, a severe storm, caused a 67-mile-per-hour wind gust in Newton, east of Des Moines. The twister in the Johnston area packed winds of up to 95 miles per hour, tracked for 1.6 miles, and was a maximum of 50 yards wide. Began at around 6:26 p.m. and ended 3 minutes later. Again, there were no injuries reported, but there was considerable damage to trees, some homes, and other property, as evidenced by social media posts. The National Weather Service says more severe weather is expected today with thunderstorms, heavy rain, and a chance of tornadoes. The rain could lead to localized flooding. The Iowa Department of Public Health and Audubon County Public Health Department Monday identified an additional case of COVID-19 in Audubon County. The individual was an older adult, ages 61 to 80. This additional case brings Audubon County's total to 12 positive confirmed cases of COVID-19. The number includes 10 that have recovered and one death. Now, health officials say a common question they're asked concerns the request for more information on COVID-19 positive individuals. Audubon County Public Health says please keep in mind that when a new positive case is announced, the Iowa Department of Public Health is only allowing the age range of the individual to be released. Due to the confidentiality and HIPAA regulations, any additional information, including the person's race, ethnicity, gender, city, or employer, is considered confidential information and cannot be given out. The state's online COVID-19 dashboard shows, as of the latest report just about 15 minutes ago, 461 deaths have been attributed to the virus since record-keeping began 2 months ago. Figures also show 134,505 Iowans were tested, 17,644 have tested positive, 116,560 have tested negative, and 9,401 have recovered. Most recent numbers were released as the mayors of seven Iowa cities penned an editorial appearing in the Des Moines Register the other day calling for federal officials to approve federal aid for cities. As for Cass and surrounding counties, the number of positive test results and the number of those recovered have not changed much over the past few days. Cass County currently has and has had 11 positive cases with one recovered. Adair County, 8 positive, 3 recovered. Adams County, 5 positive cases, 1 recovered. Audubon County, 12 positive cases with 9 having recovered. Guthrie County has 43 with 29 recovered. Montgomery County, 6 with 5 recovered. And Shelby County has 31 positive COVID-19 cases with 24 of those recovered. And Pottawatomie County has 215 with 122 recovered. Now, in the RMCC Region 4, that's the Regional Medical Classification Center for Southwest and Western Iowa, 7 people are hospitalized for COVID-19, 3 are in an ICU, and no one was admitted to the hospital. Those figures have also held steady for the past few days. Across the state, 377 COVID-19 patients are hospitalized, 118 are in ICU, 33 were admitted over the past 24 hours. There was also another long-term care facility outbreak across the state, bringing the total back up to 37 from the previous figure of 36. The number of deaths at those facilities stands at 244. Patients and staff who've tested positive number 1,585, and the number recovered is 669. An employee at the Tyson Foods plant in Waterloo died Monday after battling the coronavirus during a 6-week hospitalization that was chronicled and widely followed online. Jose Ayala, age 44, died at St. Luke's Hospital in Cedar Rapids. His friend and co-worker, Zach Madog, said it was painful to watch his friend succumb to the virus. Ayala had received treatment at 3 hospitals since April 12th, and his ups and downs have gained a following on social media in the 6 weeks since then. Advocates say Ayala is at least the 5th employee at the Tyson plant in Waterloo to die after contracting the coronavirus. The meat and poultry industry has historically relied on immigrant labor to do some of the most dangerous jobs in America, from employing refugees to a notorious record of hiring immigrants in the U.S. illegally. And now that reliance and uncertainty about the pandemic is fueling concerns about possible labor shortages to meet demands for beef, pork, and chicken. Companies struggling to hire are spending millions of dollars on fresh incentives. And whether there will be long-lasting difficulties hinge on if employees feel safe, unemployment, industry reforms, and President Trump's immigration policies. The head of the Trade Association for the Long-Term Care Facilities in Iowa says 52% of nursing home operating income is dependent on Medicaid payments. Brett Willett, president and CEO of the Iowa Healthcare Association, says due to Medicaid reimbursement rates, there is a shortfall.
The Medicaid system was designed never for facilities to make a dollar on Medicaid. It was designed to cover the cost of an Iowan receiving care so that facility can do that. Currently, our state share shortfall of Medicaid is about $32 million.
The gap had been larger. Last year, Iowa legislators set aside $24 million more for nursing home reimbursement.
At the federal level, our national association continues to lobby Congress for additional dollars into the system.
Willett made his comment during a weekend appearance on PBS from Iowa. The recent Federal CARES Act temporarily boosted federal Medicaid reimbursement rates. In our funeral announcements, William Bill Lippincott, age 82, of Atlantic, died May the 18th at Mercy One Hospice in Johnston. A private family mass of Christian burial for Bill Lippincott will be today at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic and can be watched via live stream beginning at 2 p.m. through the link in this announcement on our obituaries page. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Sherry Forsman, age 72, of Des Moines and formerly of Menlo, died Saturday at the Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. A graveside funeral service for Sherry Forsman will be today at 3 o'clock at the Rose Hill Cemetery in Menlo. Johnson Family Funeral Home has the arrangements. Goldie Miller, age 92, of rural Menlo, died Thursday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. A graveside funeral service for Goldie Miller will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. in the Morrisburg Cemetery north of Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Alice Alexander, age 85, of Omaha, died Friday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center. A massive Christian burial for Alice Alexander will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. David Popper Pop, age 63, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for David Pop will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mark Johnson, age 68, of Messina, died March 22nd at the Cass County Hospital. A celebration of life graveside service for Mark Johnson will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Messina Center Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. And Ernest Thompson, age 88, of rural Cumberland, died May the 3rd. Funeral services for Ernest Thompson will be on June 24th at 10:30 at the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Anita, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.